Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Umar Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. We are still doing the kitab known as Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, or rather better known as Ash-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. We had done about 30 ahadith so far from the kitab and we completed the first three chapters. So tonight inshallah we are starting from the fourth chapter, which is the chapter regarding the combing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So without further ado, we can continue on. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. He says, Babu ma ja'a fi tarajjuli rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa fihi khamsatu ahadith. The chapter regarding the combing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this chapter there are five ahadith. The first hadith, he says, حدثنا إسحاق بن موسى الأنصاري حدثنا معن بن عيسى حدثنا مالك بن أنس عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كنت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا حائض. This hadith is reported by Ishaq ibn Musa al-Ansari, who reports it from Ma'an ibn Isa, who reports it from Malik ibn Anas, from Hisham ibn Urwa, from his father, meaning Hazrat Urwa ibn Zubayr, who reports it in turn from Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, who said that I used to comb the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while I was on my periods. So from this hadith, there are a number of things which can be derived. One, as you can say from a fiqhi perspective, is that when a woman is in her when a woman is menstruating, then she is not physically, she's impure from the sense that she cannot perform salah or touch the Quran and things like that. But if she physically touches someone, that you are not affected by it. So therefore, there's no harm in having an interaction of this sort with obviously your wife or some other mahram member of yours. So like this, in this case, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha could comb the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam despite the fact that she was in this state. Another thing is, which you learn more, like you can say from a character point of view, is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wives, in that sometimes today some people would feel that this is, how they call it now, they feel it's unmanly, or however, whatever sort of manliness they feel they've got, which contradicts that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in any case, we see the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with his wives, and that is the perfect example for us to follow. Any case, this hadith is only here just to show that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to comb his hair himself, and also he used to have it combed for him. So we move on to the next hadith, which is حدثنا يوسف بن عيسى حدثنا وكيع حدثنا الربيع بن صبيح عن يزيد بن أبان هو الرقاشي عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال. This hadith is reported by Yusuf ibn Isa, who reports it from Waqi', who reports it from Al-Rabi' ibn Sabih, who reports it from Yazid ibn Aban, who is Al-Raqashi, Yazid ibn Aban Al-Raqashi, who reports it from Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, who said that he's describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر دهن رأسه وتسريح لحيته ويكثر القناع حتى كأن ثوبه ثوب زيات. He says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to apply a lot of oil to his hair, and he would comb his beard a lot as well, and he would use a lot of times a qina'. Now a qina' is a cloth which is placed on the head underneath the turban, or basically under the turban, or even a qalansuwa, a topi as well. For what reason? For the purpose of the turban not becoming oily. which tells you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to apply, like the hadith is, a large amount of oil. So obviously, if you were to just place a turban on your head, the turban would absorb the oil and become oily. So therefore, a lot of the times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would first put on a qina', which is this piece of cloth, and then put the turban over it, so that this qina', this cloth would absorb the oil, and the turban would be oil-free. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do. And the second thing is, وَتَسْرِيحَ لِحِيَتِهِ, and would comb his beard a lot, which is, as you can say, to look tidy and presentable, not to look disheveled and, as you can say, windswept or windblown, or basically looking out of the order. But okay, and I'll explain this in the coming hadith. There's a limit to what you go in combing. But like I say, the following hadith will be explaining it, so I'll mention it there. He then continues on to the part with that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to use this qina', this cloth, so much, to such an extent it would look as though it was an oil cloth. You know, if you were to take a cloth and you were just wiping up oil all over with it, that cloth would be soaked in oil. It's an oil cloth now, basically. So he say that this qina' would become so oily as though it was an oil cloth from the amount of oil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to apply to his hair. We move on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا هناد بن السري حدثنا أبو الأحوص عن الأشعث ابن أبي شعثاء عن أبيه عن مسروق عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت. This hadith is reported by Hannad ibn Sari, who reported from Abu al-Ahwas, from al-Ash'ath ibn Abi Sha'tha, from his father, from Masruq, from Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, who said, إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحب التيمن في طهوره إذا تطهر وفي ترجله إذا ترجل وفي انتعاله إذا انتعلى. That Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to always like starting from the right in everything. في طهوره إذا تطهر. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would purify himself, he would start from the right. So, like we know in wudu, when you are starting your wudu, always right hand first, then left. Or even if it's ghusl, you wash right side first, then left. Everything good, always right side first, then left. He continues on, وَفِي تَرَجُّلِهِ إِذَا تَرَجَّلَ. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would comb his hair, he would start from the right hand side. Not start from the center of the head, from the left side of the head, or anywhere else, but rather from the right side and move across to the left side. And the last one, وَفِي انْتِعَالِهِ إِذَا انْتَعَلَ. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would put on his sandals, he would start from the right first. So like I said, this applies to all good matters. And I say it here again, good matters, not bad things. When it comes anything good, entering a masjid, starting wudu, eating, or any of these are all good things. Therefore, you start from the right. But when it comes to bad things, cleaning yourself in the toilet, exiting from a masjid, these sort of things, you'll notice you exit the toilet with your left foot. You enter the toilet with your left foot, you exit with your right foot. Why? Because the toilet is on a lesser degree, it's a lower, more dirty place than outside the toilet. Therefore, you would enter a bad place with your left foot, and you would exit from a bad place into a better place with your right foot. So, always, whenever it's something good, you always start with the from the right. And whenever it's something bad, then you use it from the left. That's why when you make istinja, you clean yourself in the toilet, you don't use your right hand, you use your left hand. So everything bad from the left, everything good from the right. And this is not restricted only to combing and to putting on shoes and things like this, but rather, like I say, it's general, unrestricted for everything. Moving on to the next hadith. And this is, these two, next two hadith is what I was speaking about, that I said the ruling will come later on. So, the next hadith, he says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد عن هشام بن حسان عن الحسن البصري عن عبد الله بن مغفل رضي الله عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الترجل إلا غبا. The hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Bashar, who reported from Yahya ibn Sa'id, from Hisham ibn Hassan, from Al-Hazan al-Basri, rahimahullah, who reported from Hadrat Abdullah ibn Mughafal, radiyallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited that a person should comb his hair except every other day. Now the next hadith is very similar, so I'll read it first before coming to explain it. So the last hadith of this chapter, he says, حدثنا الحسن بن عرفة قال حدثنا عبد السلام بن حرب عن يزيد بن أبي خالد عن أبي العلاء الأودي عن حميد بن عبد الرحمن عن رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يترجل غبا. So this hadith is reported by Al-Hasan ibn Arafa, who reports it from Abdus Salam ibn Harb, who reports it from Yazid ibn Abi Khalid, who reports it from Abu Al-Ala Al-Awadi, who reports it from Muhammad ibn Abd al-Rahman, who narrates it from a man from the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now just a quick, before moving any further, the name of this Sahabi is not mentioned. It just says, it simply said, a man from the companions. The ulama have commented and they said that this man that is being referred to here is also Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mughafal radiyallahu anhu, the same Sahabi who reported the previous hadith. So in any case, but the hadith here, in particular, it says, from a man of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to comb his hair every other day. Not every single day, but rather every other day. Now these two ahadith are linked with the previous hadith of combing the beard. Here we see, one is the action that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it every other day. And here we see another hadith which says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited to do it except every other day. Now, when it comes to the combing of the hair, the ulama have written in detail on this point here, and they say that what is meant by this is unnecessary combing. If your hair is disheveled, then there is no harm, it won't be makruh or anything for you to comb your hair every day. But if your hair, like for example, if you've got short hair and there's no need to comb it, then you should not be combing it every day. But if you've got long hair or something and your hair is untidy and disheveled and things like this, then there is no harm if you comb your hair every day. The reason why, or at least one reason, the ulama explain why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented this or forbade this is because it's natural. You find it too often today. In fact, history and reality has proven it. You find people, even I'm talking now Muslim people, you'll find it on the forums even, they'll make threads to come ask hair tips from women as to how to look after their hair and things like this. So this, it's men becoming almost like women and getting involved, bogged down in unnecessary things like, do I put honey on my hair or do I use a conditioner 2 times, 3 times a week, and which conditioner is best, and unnecessary things like this. This is all things that should be discussed by women and not men. So therefore, for reasons like this, to prevent things like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't comb your hair every day. But the ulama explained, if your hair, and this is what should be kept to, unless your hair is long or it gets disheveled easily and things, then in that case there is no harm, no dislike, anything, if you comb your hair every day. And so this is linked with the beard as well. So you don't just comb your hair, but you comb your beard as well, so that your hair and your beard both can be looking decent and not disheveled. And when it comes to looking decent, then the Sharia has put down what decent is. As we see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to simply comb his beard and hair as well, and that is sufficient. A decent looking beard is not what people today feel is decent, where a person would go and shave his, cut his beard into a box shape or in a triangular shape or in some other shape or whatever of the sort here, and considered this as being decent. Otherwise you are wild looking or disheveled and things like that. This is incorrect. As long as a person combs his hair and combs his beard, that would be sufficient, does not have to go. In fact, it will not be correct to cut the way many people do today, where a person's beard has not even reached the length of one fist, but already he's cutting it in order to shape it into a box shape or whichever other shape it may be. So when it comes to combing the hair and combing the beard, avoid it except for every other day if you can. If you can't and your hair is going to be disheveled and things like this, then in that case there will not be any harm if you comb your hair every day. That is the end of page 25, and it's the end of chapter number 4, the chapter with regards to combing the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will move on to the next chapter in 2 weeks time, inshallah. Just one thing I want to mention. If you are following the kitab up in the same print which was uploaded on the forum, then just remember, if you look at this page now, we are on page 25. But if you turn to the next page and you look at the page number, you'll notice the page number is 27, meaning page 26 has disappeared. The reason for that is because when this PDF was compiled and put together, somehow one of the pictures ended up in the wrong place, so therefore that picture is existing, but it will come actually as page number 30 only at that point. So in 2 weeks time, inshallah, when we continue with the lesson, we will jump straight to page 30, read the page, and then come back here again to page 27. Okay, so that's the end of that, and it's the end of this particular chapter, and inshallah we will end here for now, and next time again we can continue onwards. And we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.